Next, we have two presenters from the San Francisco State University Health Education Department, presenting on youth perspectives on healthy relationships and teen dating violence prevention, a California-wide health assessment. Naomi Chapman has dedicated her professional career to supporting the health and wellness of California Bay Area youth. Currently, she supports youth-led nutrition-focused research projects throughout San Francisco. Rachel Gratz Lazarus has long been driven by public health vision grounded in youth development and community empowerment. Rachel currently supports the evaluation of a capacity-building initiative in California to prevent chronic disease and eliminate health inequities through environmental strategies promoting healthy eating and active living. You guys?
Hi, everyone. Thanks again for coming out this early in the morning. So our presentation is Youth Perspectives on Healthy Relationships and Teen Dating Violence, a Statewide Assessment. So I put the slide in there, but no relationships to disclose. So just to give you a little background, so we were part of a research team. So us two is part of a bigger team. There was Naomi, Rachel, Gary, and Donna, as well as the partnership. So we partnered with the California Partnership to End Domestic Violence. Has anybody heard of this partnership before? Yay! So they do great advocacy work around the state, and so we partnered with them. San Francisco State partnered with them for this assessment. So the focus of this assessment was to examine the public health issue of teen dating violence among California youth ages 14 to 18. Again, the purpose of this assessment was to engage youth and really examine those opportunities to promote healthy relationships and prevent teen dating violence. So we really wanted to look at that continuum in California. And so the key questions that guided us throughout this process was what are the key influences on youth relationships? What supports do they need? What is in school environment? How can we promote it in the school environment? The partnership was really interested in the school environment, so that question was on there. And overall, what are the best ways to engage youth? There's a lot of research about teen dating violence, but how do we engage youth? What do youth want? How do we put that into the work of teen dating violence prevention? So our assessment methods, we did a statewide survey along with some local focus groups. So the statewide survey was, so the partnership has partners throughout California, and they were our contact, and they contacted their partners. And we had about 140 youth throughout California who participated in the survey. It was an online survey as well as a paper survey. So we had 47 youth completed, and 65 surveys were analyzed. Our focus groups, there was three focus groups in the Bay Area, and Rachel's going to talk a little bit more about it, but if you look on the right-hand side, there's kind of a map of a plot of where the participants are from, and as you can see, it's a little bit more in the densely populated Bay Area and LA and kind of scattered throughout the state. So we try to get as much as we could throughout the state.
All right, so I'm going to talk a little bit about the assessment participants. As Naomi mentioned, we had 65 surveys analyzed, and of those surveys, the majority of youth were 17 through 18 years old, located in the major cities like Oakland, Long Beach, and San Jose. And the majority of youth were Latina, female, and heterosexual. And we found this to be true for the focus group population as well. The majority of youth were Latino, female, and heterosexual. The average age of young people were 17 years old in the focus groups. Geographically, they focused in the San Francisco Bay Area. So we had predominantly youth from Oakland, San Francisco, a little bit of San Leandro, and South San Francisco as well. So we wanted to share with you some limitations of our assessment. The survey limitations, one of them was that the timing of data collection led to a small sample size, and we found this to be true, especially during the summer months. It was difficult to do recruitment for the partner organizations. As Naomi mentioned, the geographic regions did not have equal representation. We found more participation in the larger cities and had more difficulty accessing the rural areas. Data was also limited by multiple choice questions, and this really was noticeable with a complex public health issue like teen dating violence. We did include some open-ended questions in the survey, like what needs to change in your community to prevent teen dating violence, and some other open-ended questions as well. But young people, young youth participants, skipped some of those questions and didn't gave pretty minimal answers to those. So the focus group limitations. The focus groups really reveal the perspectives of a small number of youth. As Naomi mentioned, we only had 17 focus group participants. The data wasn't generalizable beyond youth participants. We really relied on a convenience sample of young people identified by the partnership, and not so much a randomized selection. And then the sample lacks significant diversity in opinion.
They were
youth leaders, so they were a lot of them were part of different partner organizations, so they had a lot of similar background in teen dating violence education, so we think maybe that contributed. So I'm going to move on to the findings. The first finding is that youth identified peers and family members as most influential in young people's dating relationship behaviors. In particular, youth talked about parents, and that parents were giving them, you know, dating advice, even if their parents were in unhealthy relationships themselves. They also mentioned teachers and coaches at schools and identified neighborhood and community violence as a negative influence on their teen, on their relationship behaviors. And important to note is that they mentioned that laws had actually the least influence on their dating relationship behaviors. In the second finding, youth reported a lack of positive role models in learning how to develop healthy relationships. And really over a third of our participants cited this as a primary barrier in developing healthy relationships. And they talked about really wanting strong, positive role models from parents and other adults that cared about them and loved them. They also mentioned the cyclical nature of relationship violence passed on from generation to generation, where a young person that grew up in a domestic violence household really had, you know, might think this is how I should treat a partner. And they really talked about needing support to not follow in the footsteps of, you know, unhealthy relationships that of adults in their lives. So we included a quotation here, and if anyone wants to volunteer to read it, this is from a survey participant. Do we have any volunteers? Yes.
Young people should have an example of a healthy relationship. If they see the right way of treating a partner in the relationship, then this problem might decrease.
Great, thank you. So this really illustrates the importance of role models in developing healthy relationships for youth. So I'm going to pass it to Naomi.
So finding three, youth reported that a lack of opportunities to discuss healthy relationships from a youth perspective is a primary barrier for youth to learn about healthy relationships. So this question we were trying to get at, what are some opportunities? And so a lot of them talked about wanting more peer, and that adults kind of take over the conversation, and that a way to really motivate youth was provide leadership opportunities. So in almost all of our participants were leaders around this topic, and I think that kind of speaks to they were also very motivated around this topic, because a lot of them actually received some type of stipend, or they were given some type of other incentive. So finding four, youth identified gender inequality as a barrier to forming healthy relationships and recognized the media as reinforcing this inequality. So this one really came up in our focus group because they were really able to really speak about their environment. And so a couple of participants talked about the media, particularly music, and how music portrays relationships and how are we supposed to know how to treat each other if all we hear and see is all this negative, unhealthy relationships? And so they really reinforced that. And even in the survey, open questions, there was a couple that was like the media or violence against women, which was really kind of speaking to this really reinforcing gender inequality throughout our society. Finding four, California youth leaders ages 14 to 18 feel that young people lack the early foundation for developing healthy relationships. So they really, this really came up on our focus groups, and they talked about some believe as early as kindergarten, talking about that relationship, but just how do you have a healthy relationship in general? They're really feeling that there's a lack of foundation for them, and that as early as sixth grade as well. So earlier the better was really, really, really enforced. And so we have another great quote, and I was wondering if I could have another volunteer to read this great quote, because I feel like it really encompasses this finding. Thank you.
Do you know what I think is funny? At school, they taught me about sex in sixth grade, but not about how to have a healthy relationship. If they're teaching about sex before they're teaching about healthy relationships, then there's a problem.
Yeah, and I think this kind of connects to the previous. I was really happy to see that there was like some relationship building, healthy relationship building along with the, you know. So I think a lot of them really spoke to this. They're like, they taught me how to use a condom, but they didn't tell me how to be in a healthy relationship. So this kind of came up again and again. So number six. Youth reported a lack of healthy relationship in teen dating violence prevention education in school. So 95% think that schools should do more to develop healthy relationships. So they're really seeing this lack in their schools around this topic. Seven youth leaders identified a lack of incentives, such as a barrier to participation in programs that promote healthy relationships. So they really would like to get paid for this work in the end. And if they were able to get paid, they would do it. And so, and in my own work, actually, the youth are paid stipends, and I've really seen that as a really, really good motivator. So I think this is speaking to that as well.
All right, so I'm going to go over some of the recommendations that we developed. And these recommendations were informed by the findings of our health assessment, and so they're very focused on a youth perspective. We also really developed the recommendations based on the ecological model, so we really tried to develop recommendations at the five different levels of intrapersonal, interpersonal, community, institutional, and policy. So for the first recommendation, we recommended to engage California youth leaders ages 14 through 18 as peer role models to promote healthy relationships. So we really feel like young people are in a very unique position to positively influence their peers through role modeling and to really promote skill building like healthy communication and conflict management. And that we know that young people have unique insight about youth culture and about the needs in their communities, and they can really work to create safe spaces and a youth-friendly approach to healthy relationship education. Our second recommendation is to develop a media literacy campaign with partnering community-based organizations to increase knowledge and challenge social norms about gender roles. And we know that media, you know, this came up over and again in our findings, that media is a very powerful force influencing young people. And we really see this as a prime opportunity to develop positive social norms and challenge traditional gender roles. And we also know that young people are the target audience for many media outlets, and so that positions them in a particularly important role to use media as a teen dating violence prevention strategy. Our third recommendation, as a statewide advocacy coalition, the partnership should expand its efforts to include youth-driven advocacy at the state and local level. So we know that community-based organizations can really engage young people in advocacy efforts, and these could be policy, you know, policies that shape the environment and shape environmental influences, supporting healthy relationship behaviors. And, you know, so that we know that if we can support young people in strengthening their leadership skills, they'll be in a better position to create teen dating violence prevention advocacy at the state and local level. Recommendation four is to develop incentives for youth leaders ages 14 through 18 in California to participate in programs that promote healthy relationships and prevent teen dating violence. So again and again, as Naomi mentioned, our youth participants expressed the need for programs to provide incentives that really support their participation in teen dating violence initiatives. This could take the shape of stipends or school credit. Our recommendation is really to incorporate this these incentive systems into existing programs. And we know that this will kind of place a strong value on the importance of teen dating violence prevention and also support youth with jobs. The fifth recommendation is to incorporate healthy relationship education in all California local school wellness policy to promote student health beginning in kindergarten. So as we talked about, healthy relationship education, young people in our assessment really talked about healthy relationship education needing to begin at younger ages, and that healthy relationship education in schools is a very important avenue to normalize schools as a safe places to develop healthy relationships. So we really see this as a great opportunity to incorporate into California local school wellness policy as an avenue.
So how would the research be used? So also to give you some more background, what we did is as a team, we used this assessment to build a program plan for the partnership. So we developed a program plan for them. And we also, they used to engage state and local members. We presented it to all the partnership partners, and some of the stakeholders took it back to their community, shared this data and information with their local organizations or their schools, kind of using this as a way to advocate for this issue at their site. And they also, during teen dating violence last February, used this as kind of a backdrop to really push different events around the country. And just overall, the partnership has really wanted to invest in data. This is why they wanted to partner with San Francisco State to do this assessment. And so they're using this to kind of build off. I know they had a bill to put more teen dating violence prevention work in policy in the state of California. So they've also been trying to use it in that way. So we just want to make some acknowledgments. Partnership staff, Lisi Fuji Parks, Alicia Stonebreaker, San Francisco State, we had our faculty really help us a lot with this. Our youth participants from all around California, our key informants and our local partners. If you have the handout, sorry, we didn't realize there was going to be so many people. We made some handouts. I know some people got them. All the partners are on the back, so there's a variety of folks who participated in this. And so we just want to thank you, and I guess questions are at the end. Yeah, does anybody have any questions since we have some extra time? So we did an online survey through SurveyMonkey, and our original idea was that we'd have it online so we could really get a larger pool of folks. The problem is by the time we developed it in May, a lot of people were out already, and so it was really hard for the partners to remind folks. So what they had, we actually did a lot of more paper surveys. So the partner would have the youth come in and they would do the paper survey, and then we came in. It was developed with our faculty. So one of our faculty has a lot of experience around this, and so she helped us develop the survey. So we did look at other surveys, like the youth, what is it called? The Youth Behavior Risk Survey. So we did try to pull from other things, but mainly it was developed by staff and us. Any other questions? I think we're good. All right, thank you.
Thank you.